on CBS Sports Radio.
I am Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. Nice to have you here. All right, we're broadcasting from Southern California. I'm in the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. If you're on hold, stay there. Telephone call is coming up a little bit later on this hour. Also, a conversation with a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, Charles Robinson. But right now, we are joined by a 12-time MLB All-Star, a World Series champion, a 7-time Gold Glove Award winner, a 6-time Silver Slugger, the 1994 Roberto Clemente Award winner. He finished his career with over 3,100 base hits, 465 home runs, 1,833 runs batted in. He is a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame, and today he appears courtesy of MyLomaExplained.com. We are joined by Dave Winfield. David, it's so good to have you on the show. How are you?
Hey, Jim. Good to talk to you as well. Keep up the good work, man.
Dave, it's so good to talk to you. It's been a little while, so it's nice to have you back. Let me first start you with the World Series, Dave. I know you caught some of that, obviously. So what are your thoughts about the Red Sox and how they play, how they carry themselves, and how they showed up on the biggest stage?
Well, you know, for those who don't know, I still work for the Players Association, and sometimes I try to remain very even on who I root for or whatever. I like both of these teams and organizations and the people around them. But when it comes down to it, honestly, I thought that Boston had the best team before they started. But, you know, when two teams play in a series, anything could happen. But Boston prevailed. I think they just showed what they had. They had extremely good pitching. The hitting was timely. It was connected. It was long ball. It was it was getting hits, and they just came through. You know, I think the only chance that if L.A. would have been able to hold on to that four-run lead, and I think it was in game four, it could have changed their fortunes. You know, it certainly would have won six or maybe seven games. But when they lost that game after being up by four, it just switched the momentum totally in Boston's favor. And then they just took over last night again.
Hall of Famer Dave Winfield joining us. You know, I agree with you. When you watch the Red Sox, Dave, what impresses you the most? For instance, is it their talent, or maybe is it the way they just keep grinding and the way they hit so well with two outs so consistently?
Yeah, it's a combination of things. I think they had a lot working for them this year. The pitching was great. Pitching, you know, in a long season or a short series, pitching is what it's all about. I mean, everybody came at you, and it's not just always velocity if you have no location or whatever, but they had guys throwing with great velocity, intent. I'm sorry, you'll hopefully someone else pick up the other line.
You're good. I got you. You're good.
But the pitching was great. The guys would get on base. They just created tension and had the Dodgers on their heels all the time. And then it was unbelievable. Steve Pierce with his long balls. I expected it from J.D. Martinez. I expected a good series from Mookie Betts. I mean, those two, the last two, were, you know, almost MVPs of the league. One of them probably the MVP of the American League. But they just kept coming at you, offense, defense, and pitching. They just had they had the whole package this year, and 108 game wins during the season. It just showed that they were an extraordinary team.
Hall of Famer Dave Winfield joining us. We've got a lot to talk about with him. And Dave, you won a World Series with Toronto back in 1992. When you think back to that series, what do you remember the most about it, and the feeling of winning it all and becoming a world champion?
Well, that's what you hope. First of all, you want to be a good player. Second, you want to be paid for your services, you know, and have a good career. But you always want to win as well. And I'll just remember all those guys as brothers that we were. I thought at the start of the season we had the best team, you know, pitching, offense, defense. And we're right on the cusp. And when I went there and Cito Gaston was the manager, I felt that we were going to win it all if we stayed healthy. And we did. So we had great camaraderie, we stayed healthy, and it was the first time Team 1 north of the border, first Canadian team, so I'll always remember that group.
Yeah, Dave, the game is so different right now. Everything does change, but when you look at a game right now, you see more strikeouts than you see hits. I mean, literally and statistically, you were never a guy who was looking to chase home runs. You were looking to drive in runs, right, then get hits, and then the home runs, they'd come ultimately after that. There aren't too many guys who play the game today who bring five tools the way that you did back in the day. So as you watch the game right now and you're still involved with the game, who are the guys playing today that you like to watch the most?
Well, that's hard to say. I mean, you know, you've got a guy like a Mookie Betts, does everything. You've got guys. I mean, I like the big guys in New York, you know, with Judge and Stanton, just because you see the ball go travel a long way. But give me guys that, you know, play the – have five tools and they use them. They can run the bases, play defense, have a good arm. And, I, you know, again, as you mentioned, I don't particularly like – I don't like the strikeouts. There's too many. People say, well, you know, the analytical approach today, it's, you know, an out and out. No, it's not. If you never get on base, you never put heat on the opposition, that you know, you never have them on their heels. If people say that, you know, there's just – the game is evolving. It's not where it's going to be. Parts of it are good. Parts of it I don't agree with. Like I say, it's total analytical approach. And, you know, if you're just swinging from your heels all the time and you generate all your runs with home runs, you're just exposed. I don't think that's the best way to try to win games. You know, for the Dodgers, as we're saying, like today, and I mean, I know I'm going back on it, I didn't really feel, the people in the stands never really felt that there was, that their offense was going at Boston, had them on their heels, where there was any connected action. You know, it was just, you're kind of waiting for the home run derby to win the game. And so I felt something was amiss, and it showed. It showed a weakness. It exposed the team. You can't win with just the home runs. Got to get on base. Get on, get over, get him in. And that's the kind of player that I like.
Yeah, put pressure on the opposition. Dave Winfield, my guest. You know, Dave, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I really agree with you. It brings up one more point then. What about the shift? When you see hitters today struggle with the defensive shift, what do you think? And if they had tried that on you back in the day, how would you have responded?
I have a whole lot more hits. It's interesting. This is part of the analytical approach. You know, they know every pitch that you swing at, what count, where you hit it, how deep you were, and then they put someone in that spot. And if guys as hitters don't learn to change and go back to being a good hitter and use the entire field, hit the ball on the line instead of always trying to hit it in the air and swinging and missing most of the time, they'd be much better hitters. But, you know, if they're paying guys just to hit home runs, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Jim, if they say, I'll give you X million for hitting it in the air all the time?
I was going to say, you're going to hit it in the air, Dave, what you're going to do. You're going to hit it in the air.
That's not making you the best ball player that you could be. It really isn't.
Hall of Famer Dave Winfield, my guest. What are you going to do if they say, we'll give you that money to hit it in the air? It is a conundrum. Let me ask you this. Before we talk about what you're here to talk about, and we have plenty of time for that, I want to ask you about San Diego, because we have a lot of listeners in San Diego. And, of course, you started your major league career with the Padres, and you've got a Padres hat on your plaque in Cooperstown. We're on in San Diego. It's a city that's very close to my heart. They may not have been the best years from a record perspective, but that was a place where you started the Dave Winfield Foundation and had the Winfield Pavilion. What do you remember about your time in San Diego, and what do those years mean to you?
Well, they gave me my chance. I came right out of college World Series, and all of a sudden, a week later, I'm playing professional baseball, looking at the Hank Aarons and Willie Mays and Bob Gibson and Willie Stargell and all those guys. So I appreciate the opportunity to play right away. And, you know, I learned everything there in the beginning. That's where I cut my teeth. They gave me my chance. That's who I came to the dance with, as they say. That's why I went in as a Hall of Famer down there in San Diego. I mean, I put in good years with a lot of other teams, Yankees most notably, and others, but I said, no, Hall of Fame, San Diego. And so I always appreciate the opportunity that they gave me.
That's really an amazing thing, and especially you coming from the College World Series, not playing minor league baseball, and going right to Major League Baseball within a week's time. As I mentioned in the intro, you're working with the myelomaexplained.com. organization, and it was born out of your friendship with Don Baylor, who passed away after a long battle with myeloma. How would you describe your friendship with him, and what was it like watching him deal with this?
Yeah, first of all, hey Jim, thanks for giving me the opportunity, because I've teamed up with Amgen to really be an advocate and let people know about multiple myeloma, which is an incurable blood cancer, which is what Don Baylor was diagnosed with. Although he went on in his life for 14 more years after that, I didn't know much about the disease early on, but they're giving me the chance to tell people much more about it. So let me try to give it to you in a nutshell. Again, incurable blood disease. People didn't know much about it. They're making great progress in this field. You can go online, for those who are listening, to myelomaexplained.com, and you will see a website which will help people what they call create their myeloma MVP, which is the most valuable plan, which Don Baylor was an MVP in, not only in life but on the field. And they can look through there and see, they can create their plan, which really is about talking to your physician, your oncologist, your doctor, to talk about what are your goals in life, how about your medication, the treatment, so you can have a whole discussion. When you have a plan for your life, you can, quite frankly, you can extend it. You can you must participate in your own, handling, management of this disease. So that's what Don Baylor did. He did as a player. He always had a plan for how he approached the game. When he was a manager and a coach, that is how he did. So he was organized, he was thorough, and that's the way he approached this disease, this dreaded disease, and it helped him live quite a bit longer. And so all of the advancements that they're making across the board, there are so many treatment options, but once you know these, what's going on with your own body and your own family, you can... It can help you with your circumstances. And now, having said that, Don Baylor as a man, we were teammates in New York. They used to call him rent a leader. So many teams wanted him around when it was crunch time, end of the season. Don Baylor was one of the groomsmen in my wedding. We were just close friends. He was solid as a rock as a human being. He was one of the leaders early on when they talked about cystic fibrosis. He grabbed that bull by the horns, and he taught people. He had luncheons all around the country with all of the players in the league. So he was a leader for other causes. And then now we're going to try to keep his legacy going in a leadership capacity with multiple myeloma.
That's great. He was tough. God, he was so tough. Such a presence. What a great ball player and a great manager. Great, great personality. Very compelling. Dave Winfield, my guest, a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame and appearing courtesy of MyelomaExplained.com. You want to go to that site for more information. David, it's been a minute or two. It is so good to get caught up. I always appreciate our conversations over the years, and it's great to have you back on the show, Dave. Thanks so much for doing that.
I appreciate it, man. Keep up the good work.
You too, Dave. Have a great day, and let's do it again soon. Let's not wait so long next time. Dave Winfield, and let's not forget, being drafted in multiple sports. Drafted in multiple sports, a Hall of Famer in Major League Baseball, and going right from the College World Series to Major League Baseball in a week's time. Over 3,000 hits, 465 home runs, and some real talk about how if all you do is go up there and you swing out your ass, you could do better, you could be better. He said, I wish they had shifted against me. I'd have so many more hits right now. Instead of waiting for the three runner, you got to hit it where they ain't. If you're athletic enough, if you can adjust, if you're good enough. All right, when we return, one open segment on the back end, the last segment today, Charles Robinson to talk about, among other things, the Browns fired Hugh Jackson, fired Todd Haley. Where do they go now? In fact, Greg Williams, would it surprise anybody at all if they made him the interim head coach and then fired him 3 hours later? Wouldn't surprise me. And again, my thanks to Dave Winfield. Football season is here. You know this. We're right in the throes of it. It is time to get down. Time to get in on the action with MyBookie.net. MyBookie.net is the industry-leading sports action website, which offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, all your favorite sporting events, too. You can take a side. You can predict scores or track player props. MyBookie.net lets you play without cash or other purchases. Use the promo code ROME100 when you register for your account, and then get a 100% sign-up bonus. Did the game already kick off? Don't sweat it. MyBookie.net has in-game live action on every major league event. I've done that. I've jumped in after a game started. Every major league event, including esports. There is no better time to join MyBookie.net than right now. Go to MyBookie.net, open up an account, join in. Use the promo code ROME100 when you register, and you will get a 100% sign-up bonus. That is really rare. A 100% sign-up bonus. Signing up is easy. You have access to your own personal dashboard. MyBookie.net. Promo code ROME100. Get down before tonight's game. No deposit necessary. Terms and conditions do apply. For entertainment purposes only. And void where prohibited.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
If you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong and stay strong. Like Castrol Edge, it is the strongest full synthetic motor oil, three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown as tested in the Kurt Orban test. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. All right, really quickly. Strangely, one of the longest running trending items of today is National Cat Day. Now, I don't lead with this, but I'll say it for the record, and I'm not ashamed of it at all. I like cats. I'm a big animal guy. But unlike some of you, notably Hawk, I'm not an either-or. Like, you say something positive about a cat, and then Dog Nation is coming for you. To me, it's not either-or. I like cats. I like dogs. I like horses. I like animals. Like, I'm an animal guy. So it's National Cat Day. And it's trending on Twitter and has been all morning long. Now, this guy, on the other hand, is one or the other. Dear Jim, let's face it. Cats are superior pets to dogs. They are self-sufficient. They're clean. You can leave them alone all day and they'll be fine. Furthermore, dog owners are selfish, insecure people that need their pet to constantly reaffirm their love for them. Thanks for your time. Nick in Westchester. Interesting. Hawk's like, preach, bro. Preach. Quote, dog owners are selfish, insecure people that need their pet to constantly reaffirm their love for them. All right, really quickly, before I talk about Mike Gundy, this brings me to National Cat Day. I did it. Now, I'm usually happily tweeting pictures of our horses, but I do not go with cat pics. It's not what I'm about. I'm not about that life. We have two cats. I love the cats, but I'm not about posting pictures of the cats on social, like Hawk. Hawk got ink of his cat. He's got a tattoo of his cat. Well, today, I decided to go there. Go to my Instagram page. There is a picture of one of our cats, Cody. Cody the cat. Cody the cat is a ragdoll cat. We have two cats. One rescue cat that cost us nothing, and the cat's amazing. And Cody the ragdoll. They're both 10. Cody the ragdoll, I say this not to be look at me, but it just goes to show. Cody the ragdoll costs several hundred dollars. It's the breed of the cat. It's an expensive cat. This cat hates my guts. I love the cat, man. I'm absolutely mesmerized by this cat. Cat's awesome. He's like a rock star. Hates my guts. Could not disrespect me any more than he does. I mean, just looks at me and laughs. Like, yo, what do you want, old man? Yeah, that's what I thought. Get your ass out of my face. The cat gives me that look. I know the cat. Look at this picture of this cat. And tell me this cat isn't looking at me on Instagram like, what do you want? Yeah, that's what I thought. Beat it. The other cat is free. Best cat ever. Sapphire. I think it all went wrong. I tried to get Janet to name the cats. We got them like the same week. Bombay Sapphire. Bombay Sapphire. She wouldn't go for it. She was fine with Sapphire, but wouldn't let me name Cody Bombay. Had we named Cody Bombay, the cat would be much nicer. Anyway, National Cat Day. Go to my Instagram page, and you can check out Cody Rome. Cat's all attitude. Look at him.
You see cat, mate.
You see cat, mate. Not that kind of cat. Different kind of cat, mate. Anyway, I've said it before. I'll say it again. There's so much that happens on NFL Sunday that if it happens on a Saturday night, it's almost impossible to get to it on Monday. If it happens on Saturday night, it may as well have been 3 years ago. Yesterday was not a normal NFL Sunday. Also, on top of that, because we had Game 5 of the World Series. Having said that, if something happened on Saturday, and I'm talking about it on a Monday, it must be nice, really nice. And this really was. In fact, I would have gotten to this much earlier in the program if I could have. I'm talking about Mike Gundy, jungle favorite, Mike Gundy. I love Mike Gundy. I love Mike Gundy at any press conference. And that right there should be a hint that we're dealing with some genius that's forthcoming. Mike Gundy press conference. If I mention that phrase, you better drop whatever you're doing and get ready to listen. If you're driving, pull over. Something good is going to happen. Because it was 11 years ago, 1 month and 1 week, to this day, that Mike Gundy went legend and gave the world this.
This was brought to me by a mother of children. It's fiction. And that article had to have been written by a person that doesn't have a child. If your child goes down the street and somebody makes fun of him because he dropped a pass in a pickup game or says he's fat and he comes home crying to his mom, you'd understand. That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage, attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right. Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. So get your facts straight. And I hope someday you have a child and somebody downgrades him and belittles him and you have to look him in the eye and say, you know what? It's okay. Who's the kid here? Are you kidding me? Makes me want to puke.
Absolutely incredible. I mean, you talk about something aging well. That press conference was so legendary, it gave this show not just one drop, but several drops. Iconic drops. There's the one that the rant is named after.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
Incredible. How about this one?
Makes me want to puke.
You know that one. How about this forgotten gem?
This was brought to me by a mother of children.
A mother of children. How about this one?
Downgrade them.
And this, which is perfect for every single day or everyday life.
So get your facts straight.
Get your facts straight is right. And of course, this single word masterpiece.
Garbage.
And the godfather of all drops from this show.
Facts.
Absolutely amazing. I mean, nothing compares to that. That is the secretariat at Belmont of postgame pressers. Nothing will ever, ever come close to that. This is the jockey turning around to look for the rest of the field, but nobody is within 30 lengths of him. The classic Gundy presser. At least that's what I thought. I never thought that I would hear or see anything that could even come within 10 lengths of that. Striking distance of that transcendent moment. Until this past Saturday, after Oklahoma State beat Texas, huge win, thanks to a strong performance by quarterback Taylor Cornelius, Gundy was asked about some of the criticism that his quarterback had received. Let me just start by reading the transcript as written by Nathan Ruiz of the Oklahoman. Mike Gundy on the social media criticism facing Taylor Cornelius, quote, "I don't give a rat's ass about Twitter. Makes fart noise. It's a platform for people that are sitting at home drawing an unemployment check, sitting in front of a keyboard, makes fart noise. Trust me, I get it in my own house, but I just kind of felt like social media, Twitter's what's destroying this country. Anyway, so that's how I feel about it. From politics to sports to whatever, it gives people a platform to bitch, and the other people are like needling it, and they're sitting at home, and they're late on a payment, so that's how it feels." End quote. And that transcript is so good. It is so good. And if you think that reads well, listen to how it sounds. It sounds even better.
Criticism where? From where?
Outside. Noise.
From where?
Twitter, radio.
Yeah, oh, I'd give a rat's ass about Twitter. It's a platform for people that are sitting home trolling an unemployment check, sitting in front of a keyboard.
Coach Tynan had a really big game first.
I'm not disregarding what you're saying. Trust me, I get it at my own house. But, I just kind of felt like that social media and Twitter is what's destroying this country anyway. So that's how I feel about it, from politics to sports to whatever. It gives people a platform to and then other people are, like, needling it, and they're sitting at home, and they're late on a payment. So, anyway, that's how I feel.
Man, that sound is good, but the visual is so much better. That's one of the great coaches in college football making fart noises during a presser. And the look on his face as he says, "I don't give a rat's ass about Twitter," is majestic. He's just casually leaning on the podium with one elbow, dropping fat noises. And when somebody wants to ask a follow-up question and maybe change the subject, he cuts them off so he can get back to his thoughts on Twitter. And it's amazing. Now, it doesn't have the range that his original rant does. But that was the rant of a man who was 40. This is the rant of a man who is 51, a man who knows he's on top of his game, a man who's feeling pretty damn good about himself, and well, he should. He just coached a hell of a ball game. He's a hell of a coach. He knows it. I'm not saying that this particular rant has the range or the depth that the original had, because the original rant is like the current Golden State Warriors. It's got so many different ways to beat you, but this one's good. This one's really, really good. And let's not let really good be the enemy of great. I'm not saying this is better than "I'm a man," but I'm saying "I don't give a rat's ass about Twitter," makes fart noise, is awfully, awfully close.
"I'd give a rat's ass about Twitter."
I mean, I don't know if anything will run down fat. But Gundy making that sound during that presser on Saturday may be the next best thing.
Fat. 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 Fat.
How great would it be to be Alvin DeLauro, to just sit there and punch buttons up like that and get paid to do it?
Fat. Fat.
Yeah, all right, Beavis, I got it. Listen, I know a lot of you think that Twitter is the greatest thing ever, and it is. It is. But Twitter also is the worst thing ever. It's both. It's both. Just know that as much as you love it, this is what Mike Gundy thinks of Twitter.
Fat. Fat.
I couldn't respect Mike Gundy any more than I do. If my kid played football, kids, if they had any ability, I would send them to Mike Gundy for sure. I just want to hang out with Mike Gundy. Hey, Mike, really quickly, what are your thoughts on social, specifically Twitter? Is Twitter a good thing or a bad thing? Okay. When we return, Charles Robinson joins us. If you want to see what our cat looks like, go to my Instagram page, Cody the Cat. Damn, Alvin, why don't you grow up? The Instagram page is @JimRome. Check it out. Alvin, what are you, 5? Time now for a sports update. Alvin, I said it's time now for a sports update. Here is the latest. Why am I not surprised you all like that segment? Because you're all in sixth grade. That's why you like that segment. However, there's a reason I did that. Mike Gundy deserves a lot of credit. Great coach, great leader, tremendous. Ed Buck O'Man Electric said, "One of the best segments ever, Rome." Adam Cantrell tweets, "Christmas came early to the jungle. Thank you, Coach Gundy." Haunted Horse tweets, "I am dying." 1-800-636-8686. The ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to think O'Reilly Auto Parts? for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Quickly, we are joined right now by a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. He is the co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. Coming off a wild NFL weekend, Charles Robinson joins us to break it down. Charles, good to have you back. What's up? How are you?
I'm doing well. Nothing like firing your head coach and your offensive coordinator and then deciding that the guy who was indefinitely suspended for his involvement in a bounty program in the NFL now should be your head coach.
That's amazing. All right, so start right there. What about Greg Williams? Where does that leave him?
Well, I mean, Greg Williams is not the long-term answer to this job. Now, I don't think, you know, Greg's going to be happy to take over that interim title. He obviously has got previous head coaching experience, albeit not relatively successful head coaching experience, but they didn't have any other options. I mean, the Browns really didn't. Once you get rid of Hugh Jackson, once you get rid of, Todd Haley, you look around on that roster and there's really nobody left to promote except for Greg Williams and then promoting Freddie Kitchens up to the offensive coordinator role. So, very strange times, but for the Cleveland Browns, I think this just became so untenable when you have a young roster and they're sitting there. And I think what happened was I had a chance to talk to somebody late last night and then this morning about what was going on. And I think Jimmy Haslam, the owner there, was reticent to fire Hugh Jackson because he did not want to create chaos in the middle of the season. But he was leaning on the general manager, John Dorsey, to give him analysis of what was going on. And I think what happened was, from what I understand, Dorsey just said to Haslam, look, this is a problem. We've got two guys who are the heads of the organization, both very strong-willed guys. They're not listening to each other. They're bickering. They've tuned each other out. You got Hugh taking shots at Todd in the media. All the young guys are seeing this. Baker's seeing this. And now people are asking Baker Mayfield almost to sort of take a side or to comment on this. We don't need this. A decision's got to be made here. And I think at that point, that's when Haslam stepped up and said, we got to sweep this out, and both guys got to go.
Charles Robinson joining us. So both guys go. Greg Williams is still there right now. So from your reporting, what was Todd Haley told about his role and control over the offense when he was hired? And then how did he conduct himself?
Well, he had carte blanche. What's interesting in this is that Hugh Jackson, when Todd Haley was hired, he was part of that. Like, Hugh played an active role sort of in recruiting Todd Haley in. So this idea that Todd was sort of forced on Hugh is not legitimate. Hugh actually said to Jimmy Haslam following last season, hey, I'm okay if we bring in an OC. And even though Todd Haley was a guy who had a strong, you know, personality, they kind of rolled the dice on Greg Williams, and that had sort of worked, or Hugh felt like it worked defensively. So he wasn't afraid of Todd Haley. And I think Hugh even played sort of an active role in getting Todd Haley in there. But part of the deal was, and Haslam knew this, and Hugh knew this, and everybody signed off on it, Hugh, you're the CEO of the team. Todd Haley's running the offense, and he's going to have carte blanche. He can do what he wants with it, and you're not going to meddle. Well, as this season went along, Hugh became acutely aware, like, yo, my job's on the line here, and I'm not going to get another opportunity at this. This is my second coaching stint. This has not gone well. If I get fired here, I'm probably done as a head coach in the NFL for forever. And so I think at that point, he felt the pressure to start pushing Todd and saying, hey, look, here's what I think we need to do with the offense. Offense clearly has not been running well, but Todd, from what I was told, just tuned Hugh out, and that pissed Hugh off. Like, he did not like the fact that he felt like he was trying to tell Todd, hey, let's talk about this, I've got some ideas, and that Todd was just like, yeah, whatever, and moved on. And that's really what created this rift. And then now you got Hugh standing up there saying, I'm the head coach. He keeps repeating that to the media. Ownership sees that. That's not a good look. And it was this really, the last 2 weeks is really when it started to slide downhill pretty quickly.
Charles Robinson joining us. All right, so one more thought about that. Lincoln Riley's name already has come up in terms of the Browns head coaching job. It's pretty obvious why that is. He's got that connection to Mayfield. What do you think John Dorsey is going to be looking for in a new head coach?
It's about Mayfield. I mean, flat out. Like, that's the one thing that has changed, obviously, since last January when Haley was brought in, is that, you know, this was a coaching staff that was created without fully knowing that they were going to hit on the quarterback. Now, they knew they were going to take a quarterback, but you have to understand sort of once you get into that process and you take the guy, what you have and then look at the staff and go, is the staff really tailored toward him? And I think that's why, obviously, Lincoln Riley is going to be connected to Baker Mayfield because of the fact that he flourished at Oklahoma under Lincoln Riley. But, you know, it's all the next hire is going to be quarterback geared. It's going to be Baker Mayfield geared. It's all about taking this guy who they believe is going to, you know, lead the franchise to the promised land in the next 10 to 15 years and making sure that he's comfortable with the next person coming in. And not only that, the scheme he runs, a lot of the ideas that he brings to the table, I would compare it to when the LA Rams went out and got Sean McVay. What they wanted to do was get McVay with Jared Goff and make sure this is the right guy for Jared Goff. Obviously, that worked out.
Charles Robinson joining us for another moment or so. And then this just in, Ryan Fitzpatrick was named the starter next week. So Jameis Winston got pulled out of that game this past weekend. He had four picks. What does the future look like for Winston in Tampa now?
I think the Buccaneers, now they're not going to say this publicly, but I think that the Buccaneers would pick up the phone if a team called right now about Jameis Winston before the trade deadline just to say, hey, we might be interested in acquiring a Jameis Winston. What most people don't realize is that any team in the NFL right now can afford, in terms of the financial commitment, the rest of this season to acquire Jameis Winston. He's got like $300,000 left in base salary on this year in his rookie deal. And, you know, if you, let's say you were going to acquire Jameis Winston before the trade deadline, you have now eight, 9 weeks to sort of sit there and look at Jameis Winston and decide, do we want to pay him his fifth year option of $20.9 million? That's not guaranteed. Any team, if they were to acquire him, could walk away from it. I think the Buccaneers had no choice here. Jameis Winston keeps making the same mistakes over and over again, going all the way back to his last season at Florida State. They had to do this to sort of right the ship. But I absolutely think that Jameis Winston and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the next 9 weeks are going to be a decision made over whether, if he's not dealt by, you know, obviously by the trade deadline tomorrow, which I think is unlikely, I absolutely think they would entertain listening to offers for him after the season.
Do you think that anybody who really matters is going to move before the deadline?
Oh, boy. I guess it depends on really what your what your definition is of matters. I think Demaryius Thomas, the wide receiver in Denver, is, there are a number of teams out there shopping for wide receivers. I think Houston, with Will Fuller going down, Houston's now in the market for another wide receiver. I think, you know, the Patriots are in the market for a wide receiver, and Demaryius Thomas has links to Josh McDaniels there in New England. You know, I still think there are a couple of teams that may make a last second call on Le'Veon Bell just to say, you know, hey, is there any chance you're going to take a cheap draft pick for this guy at this stage? But yeah, I mean, I think wide receivers, watch the wide receivers. I think there's a chance maybe one, two, or three wide receivers end up moving.
He is a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, also the co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. My man is dialed in, Charles Robinson. Charles, great job. Always good to have you on this show. Thanks so much for doing it.
Always my pleasure, Jim.
Great talking to you, Charles. Thank you. It's a great reporter. Charles Robinson. We had a big day today. Man, we had Sean Merriman. Today's show went so fast. We had Sean Merriman in hour number one. Dave Winfield this past hour. Charles Robinson got in right before the end of the program. And a lot of you clones love the Mike Gundy take. And I know why. Because he's and he's an amazing coach. And nobody's better at the dais. Nobody's better at the podium. And you take a guy like that coming off a big win, and more than anything else, what was that in response to? He was protecting one of his players. He's made that very clear. That's the brand. I mean, great coach, wins a lot of big games, and put that program on the map once again. But he will go to the mat to protect his players. And that's why you got that reaction. If you're a contractor, a builder, or a remodeler, listen up. Lumber Liquidators is about to make your job a whole lot easier. LL Pro Plus is Lumber Liquidators' new pro services team that gives you the pro exclusive deals and services for all of your professional flooring needs. Put the flooring experts on your team today. Visit your local Lumber Liquidators store or go to lumberliquidators.com/prosales. lumberliquidators.com/prosales. Dear Jim, my six-year-old just got a flu vaccine and was crying, was upset about it. We turned the car on to hear the fart alarm, and we both have been laughing so hard ever since. She's no longer in pain. Thank you for everything you do, Jim. Hey, Tom, this is for you and your daughter. You're welcome, clones. Thank Mike Gundy, not me. The RPO podcast, Trevor Price and I, drops shortly. Look for it a little bit later on today. See you tomorrow. We're out.